know, when we look at this life, sometimes we get crossed up and things of that nature, but God wants us to live. If you got Ezekiel chapter number 16, say amen. We'll ask you to stand for the and for the reading of God's Word, if you're able. We'll reverence the reading of God's Word. And the Bible says this, starting in Ezekiel chapter number 16, verse number 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother was a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, and thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None eye pitieth thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we love and thank you and praise you, Father, for your word. We love and thank you and praise you, Father, for the songs that's been sung. God, I'm coming to you one more time today, Lord Father, asking you to anoint my lips and my lungs and my vocal cords, Lord Father. But Lord, more so, anoint my heart, Lord Father, that you'd preach through me this blessed word, Lord, your blessed message. Lord, I know, Lord Father, you want us to live, Lord Father, and I pray tonight, Lord, that we can encourage this congregation, encourage the hearts, Lord Father, of everybody that's here. Maybe provoke the one, Lord Father, or the two or the three that may be lost. Lord Father, not knowing they would realize and be revelated tonight that they have or are lost, Lord Father, and need to be saved. Father, I pray tonight, Lord Father, above all things, glory, honor, and praise be given to your high and holy name. I pray tonight, Lord Father, that you preach me unlike you've ever preached me before. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you preach me, Lord Father, that maybe I won't be able to drive home tonight. I've got me some drivers, Lord Father. It'd be all right with me, Lord Father, but what's worth it all, Lord, that you would soak me up with thy power and thy spirit and wring me out for thy benefit. And all these things and all these tender prayers, Lord Father, and things that we ask is in your son's sweet, precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. Here Ezekiel is talking and prophesying, the Lord speaking through the prophet. He's reminded in Jerusalem, wants Jerusalem to be reminded of the filth and everything that they're caught up in. He's bringing about to the point where he talks about a baby that's been born but has been cast aside. May I say this, there's nothing more horrific in the day and times that we're speaking of, the days and times back then as well as today's today, that an infant child be cast out, not be taken in, not be loved, not be cherished, not be looked upon and loved upon and nourished and took in the arms. It tells us here, reminds us of the things that it said. He talks about in verse number 7, he said, as of thy nativity, in the days thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. It was saying it was butchered, if you'll have it. It was not properly done with. It was not properly handled by the people. It was not properly handled by the priests and the religious figures of that day. I will say in the days that we're living in, there's a lot of people, Brother Troy, who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They're ever learning, but they're ever able to come into the knowledge of the truth. They think they know what they're doing, and they're causing more harm than they ever have. I'm reminded in this part of the scripture, and Jeremiah was prophesying in chapter number 6, it said, when those high priests and everything says, well, they are ashamed when they committed such abominations. He said, no, they were not ashamed, neither could they blush. They was prophesying unto the children of Israel, saying, peace, peace, when there was no peace. We got people today that's prophesying, saying there's peace, peace. We got prosperity doctrine. We got peace doctrine. We got folks saying everything's all right and everything's okay. They're saying that the old preacher who preaches out of a King James Bible, he's what's wrong with the world today. They're saying the old time church who sings the old time songs, they're saying what's wrong with the world today. Can I say this? We'll never be in the majority, if you'll have it, in this world. The world will always look at us as saying that we're crazy and right wing and be put away into a closet. But friend, when the storm rages and the winds are blowing, I'm telling you, I'm glad I got something deep down in my heart. And it's not a good feel good type message. It's the message that I really needed to hear. And now that I was lost and undone in my sin, and the Lord passed by my way and saved my soul. It's a reminder, if you'll have it, here in Ezekiel talks about how the nativity of Jerusalem, if you'll have it, talks about like your nativity, the ways of your life before you was saved. We was all caught up in sin. We was all caught up in the muck and the mire of the world. Nobody really cared for us. You heard Brother Josh said he had some friends that he used to run around with, but when the Lord saved his soul, those friends departed from him. I mean, you'll have it today. Some people said they'll be at your back. They'll help you out. They'll be the ones that'll stick with you through the thick and the thin. But I'm telling you, when it gets pretty thin, you start watching the friends start to thin out. But I found a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I found one who won't run off at the first sign of the devil. I found one who won't run off at the first time of trouble. I found one who'll stick there through the times of struggle. I found one when Psalmist said this, when my mother forsake, when my mom and my daddy forsake me, the Lord will take me. I'm glad I know the one today who Ezekiel was a prophesying about. He talked about how they were not swaddled. He was talking about how they was not washed in water to supple thee. And he talked about all those things. He talked about how the people was treated, how this baby was neglected, how this baby was cast aside. And verse number 5, he said, but none I pitieth thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou was cast out in an open field to the loathing of thy person. In that day thou wast born. He's saying he's left all by himself. There was no one there to care for them. Can I say this? You may think there's people out there that cares for you. You may think there's people out there that's got your best interests at heart. I've never seen a world today where it's more number one seeking, serving their own self-righteousness and seeking their own way. But Christian, I'll tell you this, there's one who'll never have you fall by the wayside. He's the one the psalmist said, my foot has nigh never slipped. I'm glad there's one who's not just closer than a brother, but he's a rock that we can stand upon. And in verse number 6, all those things he said, and when thou passed by, when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. Brother Troy, when he passed by me, he saw Jason Faulkner locked up and locked down in his sin, locked up and locked down in the ways of man, locked up in my own pride and my own self-righteousness, my own ways of thinking. I was caught up neck deep in sin. I was going down, down, down. Does anybody know what this preacher is talking about? If anybody's ever been saved, they first had to get lost first. Because if you got saved, you got saved from something. I got saved from hell, and I got saved from sin, and I got saved from death. And I'm glad when he passed by me, he saw me in my condition. I wasn't righteous enough. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. I don't know if anybody's listening to this preacher this night or not. You say, preacher, I'm a listener, but I want you to get to the point. Well, here's the point. When he passed by, he said unto them, when thou wast in thy own blood, he said, live. Yea, he said, live. I'm glad when God passed by me, he didn't leave me in the state that I was in. There's a song that we used to sing years ago, and Levi remembered it as we was coming home last night. He said, he didn't leave me the way that he found me. And I'm glad he didn't leave me the way that he found me. He found me in the mires of sin. He found me in the horrible pit. But he pulled me out and set my feet upon a rock. Oh, bless his holy and highly righteous name. Brother Donnie passed by you and he passed by me. There he was in a miserable state, but he didn't leave us on the side of the road to die. When Brother little Levi and Logan was doing their Bible study, and Levi was telling me, he said, Daddy, we want to teach about the love of God and how we're supposed to be Christ-like. I said, son, you can't get a better story than the Good Samaritan. Can I say this? That Good Samaritan, when he passed by him, that man that was overtaken by the thief was on the side of the road, and that man was nigh near the death. And the Bible says the Levite passed by there, Brother Troy, and he passed by on the other side. Can I say this? Religious folks will pass by on the other side. They don't care too much about what's going on with anybody else. They just care about what's going on with them. And when the priests come along, surely the God, the man of God, would stop by and help him out. But the man of God passed by on the other side. But that good Samaritan passed by, and if you'll have it, he said, live, yea, live. You said, preacher, how can you know for sure? He said, yea, live. Because he didn't leave him on the side of the road, put him upon his beast, and took him to the inn and paid the fare. Put oil in his wounds and gave him something and helped him out. And he says, when I come back, if he owes anything, I'll pay him all in full. Can I say tonight, I'm glad my tab's been paid in full. I'm glad my debt's been paid. And when he comes back, I'm glad I don't owe anything unto the Savior. But bless God, tonight he passed by me and said, live. Oftentimes I see people, you say, preacher, I still ain't following you. Well, can we go to Ezekiel chapter number 37? Ezekiel chapter number 37. We're going to another place where God wants us to live. Another place where God's trying to speak unto us in these days and times. I've heard people say, don't preach all that Old Testament. It's not written to us, but it is written for us. And if you can't find solace, if you can't find peace, then Paul's a liar. For he says it is our example. It is an example for us to live by. And Ezekiel chapter number 37, it's popular scripture. I think probably well-known scripture to most preachers. Maybe most of you may not know the verses, but you know the situation that we're preaching on. And the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter number 37, and in verse number 1, the Bible says this, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by round about. And behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Can I say this? I've seen many of people on the side of the road. If you'll have it today, if you could get to the tallest peak of the United States of America, I mean, I think you'd have to look down and look upon the good old U.S. of A and see a valley that's full of dry bones. I mean, I've never seen so much dead religion, dead preaching, dead singing, dead things that they have trying to pile it up and say it's Jesus Christ. But friend, Jesus Christ doesn't bring people to death. He brings people back to life. I'm glad that when folks don't realize this, the Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, this is a vision of Israel when Israel was dead in their trespasses and sin. Israel had gone a-whoring and going after other gods. They forsook the one and true only God. They forsook the God that brought them out of Egypt. They forsook the God that led them through the wilderness. They forsook the God that plant them in the land that flowed with milk and honey. They thought there was other gods that was better. They thought there was other gods that would do the things for them. But friend, the only thing that'll wind up for you is causing you to die. I've seen, Brother Eddie, you've seen it too. People that used to be on fire for God, but it was just a carnal type thing. It was a kind of a fling type thing. And when the power of the God starts preaching, and when the power of the Lord starts pushing and putting and provoking people to do things, you'll see them, Brother Rob, start falling by the wayside. May I say this? There's a seed that fell amongst the good and honest ground. It produced some fruit, Brother Troy. Some may have been 30, some may have been 60, and some may have been 100. But every time that seed got amongst the good and honest ground, it produced fruit. And the Bible says, Sister Nikki, you know a tree by the fruit that it bears. Ain't that what the scripture says? You say, preacher, what kind of fruit are you talking about? I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, brotherly kindness, and charity. Oh, I'll say this today. I've never seen some group of people in all my life that says they love the Lord and they are a Christian and they follow God, but they ain't got no fruit that comes off their tree. I believe it's like this, and some folks may think I'm out of whack on this scripture. You can think what you want. I think we're living the days and times. A lot of folks want to point their finger at Israel and say it's Israel. And I know dispensational things. Don't think I'm getting off track. But I think if you got to look at the United States of America, I think it's a fig tree. It's God leaves, but she ain't got no more spiritual fruit, Brother Troy. She was founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Mayflower Compact says it to be so. The man that started this country says the Bible is one of the best things to ever use to govern a nation and govern a country. And friend, we left the principles of God. We left the foundation of salvation. And friend, I believe this. God's passing by and looking some fruit upon the churches of the United States of America. And all he's seen is a bunch of leaves, and he ain't seeing no fruit. You say, preacher, what's it got to do with anything? A fig tree back in those days, before it showed a leaf, it showed the fruit. So when Jesus passed by, since there was leaves, there just had to be some fruit. Y'all hearing the preacher? But there was nothing. That tree may have been dead. There was no fruit whatsoever. So what did he do? He cursed that tree. When he passed by back again today, it was shriveled up and dried up. And you can put this in your pocket. You can take this to your home and think I'm being mean. But I know more and more churches that's drying up and dead on God, because they got leaves and ain't got no fruit. But it's not God's will. He said, son of man, can these bones live? The preacher says, Lord, you know. He said, Lord, you know. You might be thinking, preacher, am I living? Lord knows if you're living or not. Lord knows if you're alive or not. Every 2 years at the county, we got to go through CPR training. And at first they had you get down on dummies and you had to put your hands the right way and press the right way and breathe the right way and everything and check the pulse the right way. You medical people in here know what I'm talking about. Well, the next couple years go by, now we ain't got to breathe on them no more. All we got to do is just push on their chest, because everybody's afraid to put their yucky lips on somebody else's yucky lips. Y'all hearing the preacher? And everybody says, that's just disgusting. I don't think I want to get down and put my lips on some nasty feller. And I have to understand, there's some people that I've seen, and somebody asked me at work one time, they said, preacher, you're supposed to be a man of God. I said, I'm supposed to be. They said, that guy right there falls dead. You going to put your lips upon him? I paused for a couple minutes. Y'all see this feller? Like he ain't bathed in about 5 months. So I'm sitting there and I'm looking. But through CPR training, I kind of said, well, I don't have to put my lips upon him. It's too disgusting. Y'all hearing the preacher? Well, now they've got it where now they're trying to put vests and everything out. Now where the vests do the compression, you just put it on their chest and wrap it around their back, sort of like our AED and everything, and you just hit the button, that thing just goes. It's like you ain't got to touch them not one bit. And everybody says, man, I like CPR going that way. Can I say something? I'm trying to draw an analogy here. I'm glad Jesus says, I still got to get down in the muck and the mire and pull them out of that muck and the mire. He saw me in my sin. He saw me in my filth. He saw me in my condition. He didn't get in water with me. He stretched his hand in, took upon my sin, and pulled me out of that valley of dry bones and said, Jason, live. Verse number 5, it says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Verse number 9, it says, and then he said unto me, prophesy unto the winds, prophesy unto the man, say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come the four winds, O breathe the breath upon these slain, that they may live. And verse number 14, he said, I shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. You know what the Lord wants you to do tonight? He wants you to live. Somebody say amen. He doesn't want you to work your fingers to the bone. He wants you to live. I've seen so many people who say, preacher, you make it hard for me to live. I've never met a preacher. I'm going to say this for 100%. Y'all listen to me now. I've been saved now since 99. I'm on 19th year of being saved. And ain't no preacher ever made it hard for me to live. Y'all hear me? But sin's made it hard on me to live. Huh? Sin has made it hard on me to live. My own self. Heard a preacher preaching about this. I think it was Kenny Baldwin. I was listening to a message. He was preaching. He goes, you know what? He says, we go in the mirror, and if we see and our teeth's out of whack, we don't get mad and punch the mirror. We don't sit there and cuss the mirror up one side or the other. If our hair ain't fixing right, we don't look at the mirror and cuss the mirror out. We don't get mad at the mirror. If we go in there and our outfit ain't matching, we don't get mad at the mayor and holler at the mayor, do we? Somebody here, y'all say amen, right? But why is it when God preaches through the man of God and preaches against our sin, the first thing we get mad at the mayor. We get mad at the preacher. The preacher's the one's got all the problems. The preacher was making my life all horrible. My life would be a whole lot better, preacher, if you would quit preaching about everything in my life. I'm reminded of that man Micaiah in the Bible when it says he never prophesied not one good thing for King Ahab. You know why he did not prophesy nothing good for King Ahab? Because Ahab never had nothing good to be prophesied to about. He was always living his life in sin. He was always living his life a lie. He was always contrary to the word of God. He was on the wrong side of God, wrong side of the word of God, and wrong side of the people of God. I don't know why Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat must have been jack-legged or something, why he hooked up with Ahab. I have no clue. Jehoshaphat should have never hooked up with him. But bless God, thank God he still knew. When Ahab tried to hook him up for him to take the arrow, God said, no, that's my feller. He says, I'm going to protect him. He said, but Ahab, I got a certain man just for you. May I say this? God's not trying to kill none of us. God's not trying to have us a miserable life. God wants us to live and live. Last place I'm going to raise in John chapter number 10. Y'all know where I'm going. John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. The Bible says in verse number 7, then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Somebody say hallelujah right there. I'm glad that writer put that comma right there. We should pause and say hallelujah. And it says, and the Bible says after that comma, he said, shall go out and shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. That means we can go and find life. We can have life in the places that we go because we have us a shepherd. That doesn't mean we go to the muck and the mire. It says we go in and out to the pasture, Brother Eddie. Verse number 10 says, the thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. He says, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I've heard people say this. Preacher, Brother James touched upon upon it. A lot of people says, I'm looking forward to that street or that gate, walls of jasper and gate of pearl and street of pure gold. I'm looking for that crystal sea. I'm looking for all those things. And friend, I think it's all going to be better than what it's described in the Bible. I think there's no way we can understand and comprehend with the mind that we have. That's the reason why I'm glad it says, the Bible said, flesh and bones should not inherit the kingdom of God. Sin's not going to enter in, but a pure glorified body. I got asked this morning about 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verses 13 through 18. They said, preacher, do you think we'll see them graves burst open and see those bodies pop out and change all those things? I said, I'll be quite honest with you. I don't know if we get to see it like we think we're going to see it. But I tell you what, ain't nothing going to get me to shout more than anything else to see the sod fly, the tombstones and the tombstones flip, and a spiritual body come flying out of that grave. Somebody say amen. But you know what? The best thing I'd like to see is I get changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. And I lose gravitation, get up on that cloud, and I'm forever to be with the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, tonight I'm going to live. Because he said, I can live more abundantly. Notice this. He says, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Y'all remember that. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. He said the hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. He says, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and known of mine. The Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He that was rich became poor, that through his poverty we that were poor might become rich. I see this crowd of people trying to surmount this retirement fund or this wealth, thinking that wealth and gain brings contentment. But my Bible says that wealth and money doesn't bring contentment, doesn't bring peace, but contentment with what you have is what brings peace. And can I say this? I'm rich. Amen. I'm richer than the richest millionaire is in this world. He's got his riches based upon cash in a bank or gold. I don't own an ounce of gold, Brother James. I ain't got no gold. I'd like to have been able to say I bought my wife some real fancy, nice, real gold. But if I bought her anything, it may have turned her finger green or black, whatever it does to you, fake gold does. I don't have the money for that. But can I say it? God says, Jason, you don't need it because I've got my streets with nothing but gold. You can walk upon it. And can I say this tonight? We struggle about through the things of this world, and the Bible says the Lord wants us to live. The Lord wants us to live. He says, I give unto them eternal life. It's not just a living down here, ho-humly and passing through. He says, but I give unto them eternal life. I like that eternal life. Don't you? That means it don't stop. Right? It don't cease. It don't quit. That's why I'm not scared of death. Death don't spook me. The boogeyman, God took away the boogeyman from me, if you'll have it. I was scared to death to die. You know what my greatest fear was? Since we would go down to Kentucky when we was kids, we never went 75. We always went the old way. I told you, 123 to 68, 68 crossover at Aberdeen right there at the Green Suspension Bridge. Used to Brown's Restaurant there and had good soup, beans, cornbread. And, oh, man, they had the onions and it was real good. Always got to throw in Brown's Restaurant when you go down through there. It's not there no more. Good memories. Everybody hearing me? Everybody all right? Just making see if you're listening. Cross over that bridge, get on Route 11, get down to 496, take 496, go down. But you're going through all those little hills. But the farther down you get, those hills get bigger, they get bigger, and you don't see what's on the other side of those hills. And as a kid, I was scared to death. I was afraid that when you got to the top of the hill, there'd be no road. Just a childish thought in my head. I thought there'd be no road because I couldn't see the road. I was scared to death. When the Lord passed by my way, I couldn't see how my life was ending. I didn't see anything good on the end. I didn't know how it was going to end. I don't know if there was any road on the other side or not after the day. But when the Lord saved my soul, I found out my road don't go down. It keeps going up and up and up and up and up and up and up. He says, Jason, I want you to live. Down here, I'm cumbered about with sin and sorrow and burdens and stress. I've heard people say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I want to get to that spot. But I have found since I've been saved, I still have stress. I get those stress headaches. I get those pains. I get those struggles and troubles in my life. But the Bible says God wants me to live. So when I found things as being hard, it was when I found I wasn't following the Lord. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and none of them shall perish. He said, my Father which give them unto, he said, I give unto them eternal life, and none shall pluck them out of my hand, is what he says. He said, my Father which given unto me is mightier than all. He said, no man is able to pluck him out of my Father's hand. He said, I, my Father, are one. If you're smack dab in the palm of God's hands, that means he's wanting you to live. If he wanted to kill you, you'd done been dead. Right? So why do we allow the things of this world to take away at our life? Why do we let certain things to struggle and bother us and get us thinking, man, this is just horrible. The Christian life is the best life. The Christian walk is the best walk. Don't get me wrong. I know there's pleasures and things and doing things in this world, but they'll never add to your life. The Bible says no man has been able to add one cubit to his stature. If you'll have it, ain't no man able to add anything to his days, to his life, to make his days better than what they are right now. But I will say this, there's a grand, great old God who knows how to make your life and life more abundantly. Ezekiel was telling them about the days of their nativity. They was good for nothing. They was cast out. No water to wash them off. That's what they do with a little baby. They wash all that afterbirth stuff off. They wipe them down. I don't think any of you people, I mean, most of them have seen a baby born, what they do after with a baby. And I'll be honest, I kind of keep my distance. It's kind of yucky for me. Tammy would grab them babies and put them up next to her chin, her cheek. I'm like, oh, man, wipe it all first. Of course, I ain't no mommy. That's why I don't know. Mommy said they don't care. They love that baby. I wait for them to get them all bathed and get that shampoo and everything. I like that baby shampoo. It makes them smell good. And James over nodding his head. He agrees with me. But there was no water to wash this baby. I got to cut the umbilical cord, but none cut that baby's umbilical cord. They just tossed them out. So there was no salt back in those days. They rubbed salt on them to toughen up the skin because there was no incubation time. There was no nursery to put them in. There was no little plastic thing to sit them in. And so the nurse walked by and looked on them, and they had the right temperature. They did things to make those babies tough from the word go to help them to resist disease and everything. So they was left in that state. Nobody loved and cared for them. And you know what? If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, nobody really loved and cared for you. You know, people, and I say this, mom and daddies love their babies, and I love my babies with all my heart, but it's only so far mom and daddy can go. I hope and pray that I've done the best that I've could. I know I've made mistakes with my kids. I hope and pray they stick with the Lord. They all but one profess a hope, and I'm looking for the one to profess a hope, and I think everybody understands and say, amen, preacher, I'm the same way with my kids. But can I say this? The only one who can make sure that your life is living is the Lord. You better make sure that you have the Lord in your life. I wonder tonight if you're here and you're lost. I wonder if you say, preacher, I ain't really been living. Life ain't been that good. I'm worried at night. I fear at night. I struggle with things. My constant fear. Some people may not realize what that is, but Lord showed me I was under conviction. I wrestled with it. I didn't know where I was going. I liked the thought that I was going to heaven, but more and more and more as the days went on, Megan, I kept seeing my life winding up in hell. Death spooked me. Hell is still hot. But I found there was one who passed by me and says he wanted me to live. And his name's Jesus Christ. We sung songs about him tonight. I wonder if you're struggling in your days, your work, or your home life, or situations and circumstances, the business, the school, the things that you're doing, they've got you weighted down. You're like, I just don't feel like I'm living. Just don't feel like I'm living here lately, preacher. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's what Jesus said. John said, greater is he. John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 says, greater is he that's in you than he who's in the world. So if he's your Savior, he wants you to live. If you ain't been living, I'd come and ask the Lord to help you out tonight. Paul, can you come and get us a song? Every head bowed, every eye closed this evening. I wonder this evening if you're living. I wonder if his life at the fullest. I've heard people say this, preacher, I've made some mistakes, and those mistakes keep coming up in my life. They keep walking and following me and haunting me. Can I say this? They'll always do that. But Jesus is the one who can give you life. It's not don't let the mistakes take the life from you. Let the Lord be your guide. Love that song Sister Tina sung. As they're getting ready, I was thinking this morning, I saw a person today in the message. And every time the Lord would glance my eyes over to them, their eyes all red and welled up with tears and crying. I remember being in that spot. I remember needing and wanting release and a burden lifted. But I remember that step I took, and that burden was lifted. All you have to do is step out and follow the call of God as He's dealing with your heart. And He'll help you. I believe 100% in my life. This Bible says it from Genesis to Revelation. He doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want you burdened down. He wants you to live. He said, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for I am my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He wants you to live.